بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. سورة ياسين lesson 31 verse 27 continued. So from the previous lessons we understand that this messenger sent by Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam were killed by the orders of the king and those in a place called Antakya, and the final messenger spoke to a man in the town by the name of Habib Najjar, and he believed and he was sincere. And when he went to them and told them to follow these messengers sent by Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, this man was crucified. And then we entered verse number 26, where we are told, قِيلَ دَخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ, you enter paradise. So this man died a martyr, and his gift is that he immediately enters paradise. And he says, قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. Then we are given a window into the words of this man in that state there, what he said and what his hope was. He said, قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِ, were it that my people, يَعْلَمُونَ, that they knew what I'm experiencing here. Now the word later in the Arabic language indicates a desire that cannot be fulfilled. That's important to remember. So someone on that side can hope, but they cannot do anything themselves. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That all might and all turning and all strength and power comes from Allah. And he continues, bima ghafara li rabbi wa ja'alani min al mukramin. That my Lord has forgiven me, and he has made me of the mukramin. And a mukram is someone bestowed with karama. And a karama, a karam is something noble. So you are become of the elite amongst the elite. And we are familiar with the word karama, where if a wali or the awliya are blessed with karama, sainthood, they break the norms. And the greatest gift the human being, the Muslim, can get is a state of karama. And the greatest karama is that you are gifted with keeping up your obligatory prayers, and that you treat people with decency. Because that is what Imam Ghazali describes a wali as. A Sufi is somebody who treats people with dignity and honor, and he keeps up the fara'id. Not someone who can fly in the air and look through walls. As Junaid Baghdadi rahimullah ta'ala said, if you bring someone to me walking on water and flying in the air, then he is nothing better than a fly or a frog. Bring someone to me who treats people decently and who keeps up the commandments of his Lord, and that person to me is a wali of the awliya of Allah. We then looked at the levels of, we said there's seven things we're looking at in this verse, or five or six things, or seven. The first is paradise. And we mentioned the levels of paradise and the gates of paradise. And we found difference of opinion that some say there are various levels, in fact seven levels, and others say that there are not seven levels, it's just different names for one place, and that you can get in the previous lecture. The point here is a usul al-fiqh point, that the verse here, or a verse of the Quran, can be qat'i. What does that mean? If a verse is qat'i, it means definite, there's no doubt in this verse. We accept it. And so is every verse in the Quran. They are all qat'i. They are definitive. There's no doubt at all. However, the meaning or the understanding of the verse can be dhanni speculative. And this means that the door of interpretation has now been opened for difference of opinion, which we call khilaf. And these are positive differences of opinion. So going forward, any verse one reads of the Quran, we need to ensure that we understand that the verse itself, although it is qat'i, but its meaning can be dhanni speculative, meaning there are more than one opinions, there are various opinions on that particular issue. The second point is that paradise already exists based on this verse, and that is an argument against the Mu'tazila, who denied that it exists. We say it exists without a doubt. Our proof is this verse. Our second proof is the qissa, or the story of Adam and Hawa alayhi salam. They are clearly mentioned as being in Jannah. So the surah is our dalil, our proof that paradise exists. Wallahu a'lam. Second point we mentioned is that this man died a martyr. And our second point is the reality of ikhlas, genuineness, sincerity after death. The courtesy and the adab in this verse is absolutely stunning. This man was killed, and he is said to by Jibreel, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, you enter paradise. After he was killed in that posthumous state, on the other side, he turns back. And instead of cursing these people who killed him, this man had in that short while after embracing Islam, internalized the values of Islam and the akhlaq, the character of Islam, in a manner that was almost miraculous. He was so convinced about the truth that he went to face death, and Allah Ta'ala is saying what he said. So these words are the words of Habib Najjar. And here we come to learn how Allah Ta'ala has honored this man here for his genuineness and his ikhlas, that he has earned his voice in the Quran. He died a martyr, and he does not get questioned in his grave. He's exempted. Question 3, the types of martyrs. The types of martyrs are 3. And a martyr in Arabic is called a shaheed. Why is he called a shaheed? From the word shahada, which means to witness. We testify, we witness. But they are called shaheed because they witness immediately their place in paradise. The shaheeds are 3 types. A shaheed al-dunya, a shaheed al-akhirah, and a shaheed al-dunya wal-akhirah. As for the first one, the shaheed al-dunya, it's translated as the martyr for the worldly life. The shaheed al-akhirah is the martyr in the next life. And the third, combining both, dunya wal-akhirah, is a martyr who combines and enjoys both. Now we know the ruling of a martyr is that he's neither shrouded nor bathed nor prayed. He's just, nothing happens, he's just buried as he is, because his grace must reach, his a'mal as-salih, his genuineness reaches in that pure state. Okay, the shaheed ad-dunya wal-akhirah is a shaheed who participated in the battlefield, faced the enemy, and died in that battle. Okay, now this person, being genuine in what he does, is neither shrouded nor bathed, no ghusl, and he is honored amongst the people of the dunya as being a shaheed, as well as in the akhirah as being a shaheed. The second one, the shaheed al-akhirah, is someone who dies in, from, for example, a tsunami, or he dies in a fire. There's a whole list. Or he dies on a Friday, the eve of Friday, Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Or he dies of a severe stomach illness and is continuously reciting Surah Ikhlas. And there's a whole list of martyrs who are considered the martyrs of the Akhirah. Now that person, he is bathed, he's prayed over, his janazah, salah, and all the laws apply to him here, and he's considered a shaheed only in the Akhirah. Now the last one is the worst of the shaheed ad-dunya. This person dies in the battlefield, but his intention was only to show how brave he was. It was for reputation and status. So this person is neither prayed over, nor bathed, nor shrouded, no ghusl. He's a loser in the dunya, okay? Because people think he's a martyr, but he's not. And he's a loser in the akhirah. He achieves no greatness there. So these are the 3 levels of shaheed. The highest being the shaheed dunya wal akhirah, the second being the shaheed al akhirah, and the last being the shaheed of this dunya. And just to sum up this verse, it says, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun, were it that my people knew. The Arabic ya qawm is, qawm means a group, and it is a word of deep affection and love. It's a group of people sharing common values of intimacy and love. So after they stoned him in that state, he still says, Ya qawmi, O my people, with love and with care. If only you knew. And he is still afraid for them, still hoping that they would change. So for those who are a bit skeptical about the idea of tawassul, that they are, that the martyrs and the salihin are very much alive, bear in mind that the soul is what gives essence, gives life to the body, and the soul lives on forever. And therefore we don't just exist here. Some people just exist. We have purpose here, and that is to work for that life to come, because this Quran is telling us that there is a life to come after death. There is hope. And they can plea on our behalf, as this verse is indicating here. And we know this is ridiculed and insulted by some groups, but we pay no heed to them. We are being introduced here to aspects of life after death, and that is real. The possibility of someone being in a state of bliss, of karama there, that a person who died with his heart attached to the truth will live and will live on forever. And that kind of heart is a heart that is alive. So think about this verse when you have time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.